Before we do our scripture reading, I want to tell you that there is a habit or a institution in not only in our church, but in most churches that I know of, that when a pastor leaves a pulpit and a church, there is usually a ceremony where there is a final word of farewell to that minister. And part of that is that in the words said at that time, there is a promise from the congregation that they would no longer be loyal to a specific pastor, but that they will accept whoever comes in his place. And then the pastor also has to promise that he will not interfere in the church that he's now leaving, and so that new allegiances can be formed. Now, I'm only telling you this to prepare you for our scripture reading, because this is what did not happen here. The Apostle Paul, we believe he was the founder of the church in Thessalonica, after a few years, moved on his missionary journeys to start new churches. And apparently there were a few really untrained people, but leaders in the church who stood up. And now he, the apostle, was away. And then the people started writing him letters. And if you hear the few verses, you will understand that they must have been a very difficult bunch in that church, because he now hears what's happening behind his back after he left, and his response to that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 22. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them, see that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And here ends our scripture reading. So, this ex-minister was indeed, in a positive way, interfering with the church that he had left behind, because he had heard that the new leaders were not held in high esteem. And if you read between the lines, you can see they must have been a tough bunch to get along with. And now Paul was writing them, somehow trying to appeal to them, to plead with them. This is not what I taught you. Something is happening. It should be different. There was a lot of anger, apparently, and division in that specific church in Thessalonica. Now, there is a saying, speak while you're angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. Apparently, the early Christians in Thessalonica were really not easy to get along with, and we must conclude that they did not have much respect for their spiritual leaders, and they had many arguments with one another. And well, when I thought and wrote about this, my mind went back over 4 decades, 17 different churches. I could really thank God for so much love and respect that we experienced in our journey as a pastor's couple. And I cannot remember a time or a day when it was different. But apparently in those days, Paul had a problem with the church who no longer respected their leaders. And when evil came their way, they promptly responded with even more evil. Anyone messing with any of them could expect real trouble coming their way. And so Paul simply had to be direct and say to them, see that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good and to one another and to all. So here we actually see how Paul admonishes them, don't do what you're doing. If somebody is negative, then you turn negative. Isn't there a way that you can improve things a bit? That you can act differently? Because not only the early Christians, but through the ages, also people like us are quick to anger, quick to take revenge, and quick to respond to injustice with greater injustice. So, let me come to the point. Let's make this much more personal. The question coming to all of us is, how do you respond when you have reason to be angry? I haven't seen many of you angry yet. So my question is, tell me, how are you when you're angry? And reminds me of this very kindly, tolerant-looking old man who was running to catch his bus. And just as he seemed to be gaining, the bus driver, with a purposeful smirk, quickly pulled away from the curb, splashing a shower of muddy water all over the elderly man. And taking out his handkerchief, the kindly old man softly murmured, well, may his soul find peace. Still more softly he added, and the sooner the better. Friends, we are living in a world where we are familiar with, as Paul calls it, repaying evil for evil. Just listen to people arguing. It usually begins when someone says something nasty to another. And normally, the other party then reacts by reacting with a remark even nastier. And from there on, it becomes like a downward spiral. I can be nastier and meaner than you. And when people around me look for trouble, I make sure that they get it. I think you've seen people like that. Our first reaction is to draw our swords and to descend to even lower levels of response, joining the wolf packs and act like wolves. And oh, so many of us have really earned doctorates in dealing with those differing from us, teaching them lessons, as we say, putting them in their place. People have told me many times, oh, I gave her a piece of my mind. And then I could only imagine what happened. No matter how small or insignificant the difference, we still prefer to set conditions ourselves. And we will only restore relations on our very own conditions. Peace? Okay. But then it has to come from your side first. Then I will fall in. We take no risks. We do not even give one extra step. We only greet those who extend their hand first. We proudly tell others about how short our fuses are. Some people have a way of saying, don't mess with me. you'll get a piece of me. And if someone wants to be nasty, we've just got the medicine for them. We'll grind them into the ground. Differences of opinion so easily become open hostility. Let's face it. We live in a world of downward spirals. And you have to forgive all the negativity that you had to listen to so far. That was not my intention. I just wanted to paint a picture, and some of us, I believe, could say, well, that is sadly true. That is a description. I remember that huge fight that those people had some time ago. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't give each other a chance. I think that was the problem in the congregation of Thessalonica. Everybody was right in their own way. And Paul was writing them, for Pete's sake, stop repaying evil with evil. That's not the way. That's not the teaching. That's not the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus teaches a better way. And the best way to describe that better way is to call it upward spirals. That is showing love when hate seems to be justified. That's what happens when we put away our swords and when we turn the other cheek. That's when we refuse to be pulled down to a lower level. That's when we ascend to higher levels of response. Soaring like an eagle, ignoring that which is petty and unnecessary and unworthy. Paul begs us, and Jesus demonstrates with word and deed, that there is always a different, a better, and a more godly way. Jesus never reacts on the same level as his opposition. To the contrary, he takes sides for the losers when no one else seemed to care. He disappears with a degraded tax collector into a sinner's home in Jericho and emerges with a repentant son of Abraham, willing to repay all the wrong that he had done. He comes between a fallen woman and her executioners, and he sets her free from death, shame, and sin. He refuses to desecrate the temple while others profit, and he teaches 70 times 7 forgiveness for those who trespass against us. What, Jesus? You really expect us to forgive 70 times 7? Ha! Even 7 is too much. 70 times 7. It has to do with the symbol of 7 in the Bible. It doesn't mean add it up and wait and thereafter get your revenge. 7 is the cipher of fullness, of completeness. And in response to the 666 of this world, Christianity came up with 777, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It has a lot of significance in the figures. 70 times 7 means forgive completely. Turning the other cheek is not only what Jesus teaches, but also what he demonstrates during his final earthly journey. He turned the other cheek even when darkness came and the agonizing journey to the cross took place. There is a film version, Potter's film version of Jesus, where a moment is portrayed when Pilate strikes Jesus on the cheek. Sadly, Jesus smiles and offers his other cheek. He demonstrates the power of his words with his very life. Jesus chooses and teaches to break the chain of hate and revenge. And Jesus surprises people of all ages with his precious acts of love, hope, and forgiveness. Friends, come to think of it, this is what our faith is all about. I can imagine how Paul must have felt. For so many years he worked and he preached and he taught and he pleaded with the people and he told them about the significant teachings of Jesus Christ. That was the material that he shared with them. And he was away in a far place. And then he heard that they were fighting amongst one another and that the blessings were gone. You know, that's what our faith is really all about. And that's also the secret, that someone has to take the first step. Someone has to do the unexpected and break the downward spiral of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Someone may have to go home from church this morning and pick up the phone and say to someone, no matter how distant, it was time that I get to you. We need to stop this bitterness between us. Or we may want to write a letter to say, I've never forgotten what happened between us. For God's sake, for my own peace, let us lay it aside and let us forgive as Jesus forgave us. It takes someone to take the first step. And if you've proudly been waiting for the other party and say, I'll move when they move. I'll forgive when they ask my forgiveness. I plead with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Do no longer wait for the other party to respond first. That is the secret to take the first step. Love bids us to take the first difficult steps, to break through every chain of hate and out of the paralysis brought about by the old way of responding to people and to the world around us. We can overcome alienation by creating a climate for true and radical change. Apparently, Jesus always found a way to soften the hard lines on the faces of his opponents. And when you and I follow him, when we live in faith, we will not fall in the trap of being sucked into a downward spiral. But we will, for Jesus' sake, take the first step and lift the level of conversation and maybe, just maybe, begin an upward spiral. Oh, so many have sunk in that downward spiral to the bottom. Will you not? Will we not in Jesus' name turn it around? Turn it around. Choose to take the first step and move upward to a new life of liberty and forgiveness and freedom and joy. That is the teaching of Jesus Christ. He is the one who resurrects. And even this very day, Jesus Christ can resurrect every broken relationship. Even today, the past can be gone forever if you and I accept and understand the teaching of Jesus and take that necessary first step. High in the mountains, this past week I had the privilege to once again listen to music, to see the openness of the endless mountains, to be quiet and peaceful, to have time to walk under the trees and to speak quietly to God. And it reminded me, as I was listening to the Messiah of Handel, music that lifts the soul, what happened in his life. He was 52 when he got a paralysis and lost the use of his right arm. And it was during that period of respite, while he was fighting to regain his strength, that he realized his dependence on his faith. And the composer sat down and wrote the Messiah, ending with the Hallelujah chorus and the Amen, when finally peace broke through, and when finally Christ's sufferings had ended and new life had begun for you and me. And then he taught us to sing, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, to the glory of our wondrous God. Begin the upward spiral. Take the first step. And don't forget to look beside you, because you will find Jesus is right by your side. Amen.